I'm going to do something a little bit different today. John chapter 17. Back in Matthew chapter 6, there is the what people usually call the Lord's Prayer. But really, it's the model prayer for believers. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. That is what we're taught to pray. Sometimes people call that the Lord's Prayer, but that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the model prayer for us. The Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17, where we're going to be going through today in our thoughts. And I want you to hold your Bibles, have your Bibles before you, because I don't have any notes. We're just going through this morning together, because I want to point out some things about what the Lord prayed in his prayer. Things that are important for us today. And as the German said that time, very interesting. Before we begin, may we unite our hearts. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. And now for this prayer of the Savior that he gave to his Father in heaven. May our hearts be ready to hear. May we be ready to listen today, because it's your word, not my word. And it's for them. May they realize this is for them, each of them. And may all of our hearts be examining our own selves and where we're at before God today. What is our attitude? What is our surrender level? What is my willingness in serving God at today? May we contemplate that in our hearts. And if there is a need to step it up a notch, may we be willing to step it up a notch and to walk closer to the Savior. Lord, help me today. I'm little. I'm nothing, Lord. I need thee and the grace of God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. As I said, John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. This is prayed just before he's to go to the cross. You know, he's got to die on the cross. That's his assignment from God. And what father would assign their child such a horrible death? Only God. Only God. And God did that for me and for you. And I want you to get that in your heart and mind today. God assigned his son a cross for you. Because you and I, whether we like it or not, needed it.
Amen.
We needed it. We were helpless without it.
Yes, sir.
These words spake Jesus, notice in your Bible, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. What hour is that? The time to die. The most horrible death there's ever been was about to come on Jesus Christ. He said, glorify thy son. The word glorify, you can put it to mean something like this. Exalt your son. Exalt your son, Father. You sent me into the world for this very purpose. Remember, Jesus came what we know today as Christmas. Amen? We made Christmas out of it. What a wonderful time. It won't be long, folks, till Christmas. But he was sent to die on a cross, to suffer and die for each of us. Exalt your Son, that thy Son may also glorify or exalt God. God can be exalted through Christ dying on the cross. How can God be exalted? Because look what God is doing for sinners, folks. Look what God is doing for sinners. He didn't have to do this. And this world running wild outside today cares less. Look at verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, Jesus Christ had all power. Let me tell you this morning, and I know my church knows this, because I've taught my church this. When I say this is my church, I'm talking about as the pastor of it. Jesus Christ was God Almighty himself in a human body. Don't you ever forget that. When those disciples looked at the Lord's face and walked with him, they were walking with God Almighty, the one that spoke this world into existence. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Think about that. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give a person eternal life. You know why he can do that? Because God the Father allowed him to do it. And Jesus Christ is the only one. These people that believe in God do not have eternal life. You can believe in God all day long and bust hell wide open, church. Jesus Christ only gives eternal life. God gives him the right to do it. And if you deny Jesus Christ, you know, you're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss heaven. This is eternal life, that they might know thee. Verse 3. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Turn over in your Bible right quick to 1 John 5:11 and look at that verse. 1 John 5:11. What did that verse say? And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Amen? You get eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so if you want to live forever, that's what it means. You're going to live forever with the highest quality of life possible in the presence of God Almighty. Boy, won't that be something? Won't that be something? Did you know if you could die right now and go to heaven, when you got to heaven, you would never want to come back here? Now, the ones you left behind would want you to come back. But if you were there, you might not even have a thought again of us here, because you would be so captivated by where you're at. Amen? This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. True life is in knowing God. You cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified, or I have exalted thee, Jesus says, on the earth. God, I've exalted thee. He's talking to God, his Father. I've exalted you, Lord, on the earth. How did Jesus Christ exalt God? He did exactly what God told him to do. He said many times to his disciples, I did not come here into this world to do what I wanted to do. And the truth of the matter is, God didn't put me and you here to do what we are doing or what we want to do. He put us here to do what he wanted us to do. That's the reason we got this book, and we fail to do what he wants us to do. That's why we got to have a Savior. Got to have a Savior. Adam failed. God told him one thing to do. Don't eat from that tree. He couldn't even keep that. And boy, how many times have I messed up? And I've been to church nearly every day, every Sunday in my life. Nearly about. I've missed a few being in the hospital. Boy, have I messed up. Don't talk to my wife about it. Verse 4, I've glorified thee on the earth, but I have finished. Jesus said, boy, hey, I remember this time of the year, we were just getting started in the cotton field when I was on the farm. And we picked cotton till just to the week of Christmas. It took us to the week of Christmas. Boy, when we got to that last row and that last hill of that cotton, we was done. Amen. Jesus' work is done. He's right at the end now. He don't have much further to go of completing the will of God. But look at these last two or three days he's going to have to go to completely satisfy his Father. I have finished the work he gave me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Exalt me, Lord. You know where Jesus was at before he came into the world? In the bosom of the Father. He was in the bosom of the Father, John 1:18. Boy, he was exalted then, wasn't he? Glorify me, exalt me now, Lord. I want to be back where I was before. Oh, how he must have missed his Father those 33 years while he was here in a sin-cursed world. Looking at the hurts of people. Looking at the ravages of sin, what sin was doing to people. And yet, here he walked the streets of this world over in Israel, knowing he was the only hope. And when he hung on the cross, he hung there because he saw there was a few people that would believe in him. And by the world's population, personally, I think it's just a few. Just a few. Sadly, most people, I believe, is going to miss heaven. Now, Spurgeon and some of those guys thinks there'll be more in heaven than are lost. They might be right, counting all the unborn that's killed. I don't know. But Jesus said that the road was narrow and few's on it. And many are on the road to destruction, according to Jesus. Yes. Glorify thy name with thy own self, with the glory which I had before thee, before the world was. He was longing to go back home to be with his Father. Look at verse 6. I manifested thy name to the men you gave me out of the world. Who? He's talking about the apostles. And that reminds me of this morning. When you read in your Bible, you keep everything in the context of what it's speaking. Every time in the Bible don't necessarily pertain to you or to me. Right now, Jesus is praying for his apostles. This doesn't apply to me and you here. This applies to them. God had given him those 12 apostles to train. He had to prepare them to take over after he was going to leave. You see, when Jesus came into the world, there was a plan. It was a plan worked out by God. a plan that would work, whereby 12 men would take over the work Jesus trained them to do, so that the gospel, this message of Jesus Christ, could spread to all the world, so that all could hear about salvation through Jesus Christ. And you're the recipients of hearing this gospel, the only message that'll save a sinner from their sin, the message of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. The Bible says, unto them that believe. But if you won't believe, you won't be saved. You believe the message of Jesus Christ dying for you? Can't be saved without it. You got to be guilty before you can be saved. You got to know you're guilty. You are guilty, but you got to admit it. The Bible goes on and says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were. Thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Did you know it? Let me see. Look at me. Look at me, every one of y'all. Everybody in the world belongs to God. Everybody belongs to God. That don't mean a one of them saved. But God made them all. But God has given some people to Jesus. Why didn't he give everybody to Jesus? Because God knew everybody wouldn't accept Jesus. And God has given to Jesus those that would accept him. God gave you to Jesus, if you're saved today, because he knew you would accept him. You can go over to Ephesians chapter 1. And read that first chapter, the very first few verses. Because God, before he made anything, knew everything. He knew who would accept him and who would not. And God did not choose you to go to heaven against your will. People don't go to heaven. People miss heaven because they choose not to accept. It's not that God kept them from believing. It's because I just don't believe that stuff. I'm not interested in that. That's man's attitude. That's the way man can believe. That's the man that allows Satan to deceive him. He won't get under the sound of the gospel. He'd rather be out breaking windows, tearing up businesses somewhere, rotten. Or a pleasure in somewhere. But people that's wise, somehow or another, got under the sound of the gospel, and the Spirit of God got hold of them, and they found out, hey, boy, you know, I just feel bad. I need to get saved. Amen. That's what happened to me. Did it happen to you? Amen. That's what happened to me. I used to be scared to go to sleep at night. I might die and go to hell. Before I got saved. That's the Holy Spirit working. But if you don't hear the gospel, you won't have that problem. You'll just be drifting right into hell. Verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Those apostles began to learn. They were like me, hard to get it through their thick skulls. Boy, the Lord has beat on my old skull, and he's still beating because I know so little. I'm embarrassed to get up before you people because I know so little. But those apostles, yes, fishermen, and a tax collector, and others, likely lowly trades. God chose to train to be the Lord's disciples, to be men to go out and spread the gospel all over the Roman Empire their day without a cell phone, folks. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, God. Jesus said, I've told those apostles, those disciples you give me, I've told them your words. Folks, listen. We need God's words. These words are not like any other book. These are words of life. Amen. They have spirit.
Yes, sir.
There's something about this book that's like no other book. It's the Word of God. It's God breathed.
Yes, sir.
I've given them the words which He gave me, and they have received them. 3 years, but they finally got it. And have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So those disciples believed Jesus was who he said he was. Look at verse 9. I pray for them, Jesus said. He's still praying for the apostles now because he's still with them. Keep it in context. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Woo, did you get that? And Jesus said, I'm not praying for the world. Why would the Lord say that? The world is lost because he knows they won't believe. Jesus Christ was not a dummy, folks. He knows the world won't believe. You think the world believes today after 2,000 years? No, over 7.5 billion people, and look at them, in all kind of cults and religions, and every one of them thinks they're going to heaven. They do. They think they're all going to heaven or some better life. I pray not for the world, Jesus said, but for them which thou hast given me. I'm praying for them that belong to me, Jesus said. For they are mine, and all mine are thine. Get that? Watch that. Look at that verse 10. All mine are thine, Jesus says. All I have are yours, God. And I am glorified in them. I'm exalted in them. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world. Well, he's fixing to leave. That's the reason he said it that way. I'm getting ready to check out. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I've got my work done you give me to do. One final thing I got to get done. But these are in the world. The disciples are still in the world. They got to carry on now. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thine own through thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Jesus looked after those 12 disciples. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. You can't think of a single incident in those 3 years when anybody ever bothered those disciples. Nobody couldn't touch them. Nothing couldn't happen to them. And they went all out doing this, doing that, taking the ministry. But what happened after Jesus left them? It weren't the same way. I'm going to talk a little bit more as we go along about that. While I was with them, verse 12 says, in the world I kept them in thy name. Jesus said, I looked after them, Father. My daddy told me when I went to school, and my sister started, and my brother started. Daddy said, Raymond, don't you let nobody bother your brothers and sisters. You know what? Nobody didn't bother my brothers and sisters. Now, Junior never did have any problems that I'm aware of. But my other brother, somebody got to tackling him one day. Well, they tackled the wrong one. Because that little brother of mine was a big brother. And he was eating them up pretty good when I got there, and I got me some of it too. Amen? Jesus said, nobody ain't going to bother my disciples. I kept them. While I was with them, I kept them. I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. But he weren't never saved to start with, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Isn't it amazing? Here's a man that was with the Lord 3 years, walked with God Almighty, folks, saw how he lived, saw what he'd done. He himself went out and no doubt performed miracles just like the rest of the disciples, and still wound up not believing. You can sit in church all your life and die and go to hell. And many people probably will. You'd be surprised today on this Lord's Day how many are in churches right now, and they're enjoying it, but they're not saved. They're not saved. They got religion. They got religion. It's sad, folks. Say, folks, the devil is sharp. You better make sure you don't have religion. You better make sure you know Jesus. He's the only Savior. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, still talking to God, praying. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. And the world hated them. Did you know the world hates you? Why does the world hate you? Why did the world hate the disciples? Why does the world hate Jesus Christ? Why does the world hate this book? I'm going to tell you why. It goes against their belief system. It cuts against what they believe. When we say we don't believe in killing babies, they don't like that. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to be limited. I'm my own Lord. I'm my own God. And these dictators of the past and of the present today who think they're God. Boy, when they die, they find out they're not God. Jesus said, I've given you a word. They believed it. The world hated them because they're not of the world. They're different. Are you saved? If you're saved, you're different. You can't live like the world. You can't act like the world. You can't be like the world. If you can, you need to get saved. Verse 15, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from evil. Jesus is going to leave them. Now they're going to be out there, and Jesus is not going to be. So Jesus is praying to God the Father, Lord, look after them now. Look after them now, Lord. I'm gone. Because they're going out into a world that hates them. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Are you saved? You're not of the world. We're just passing through. Amen? We're just like a pilgrim. We're just passing through this world. And one of these days, we're just going to step into glory. And what a hallelujah time that's going to be, folks. What a time that's going to be when we get to heaven. Lord, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of this world. Jesus came from another world. You know what? God made a big universe. We always believe, the Bible says, that there's three heavens. A heaven where we breathe air and the birds fly and the airplanes fly. Then there's a heaven where the stars and the planets are. And then above that, there's God's heaven. That's what Paul talked about. But some people say there's seven heavens. I don't know. I know one thing, there's a heaven where God's at, and I'm going there one day. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're not of this world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Keep them separated, God. They belong to you. Look after them, God. They're your people. They're doing your work now. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so, even all, I also send them into the world. Jesus is sending the disciples into the world. Remember the great commission he gave to them? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That was given to the 12 apostles and to the church. That's our job. Getting out the word to other peoples. And Jesus said, I've sent them into the world. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. I've set myself apart. You, as a believer, have been sanctified if you're saved. The Bible says God sanctified you. The Bible says Jesus sanctified you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit sanctified you. The Bible says that the Word of God sanctifies you. And the Bible says you're to sanctify yourself. Separate from the world. Be different because you are different. God is living in you. Amen? I tell you what, that's something to think about. God's living in us. Praise God. Now let's get to the good part. Look at verse 20. Neither pray for these alone. I prayed for my disciples, Jesus said. I prayed for myself, Jesus said. Now I want to pray for them that's going to believe the word of the disciples. Neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's where it got to me and you folks. The disciples went out all over the Roman world. They began to start churches. And those churches spread. And they come across over here by the pilgrims. And made America the greatest nation that there has ever been in the world. Because of Christianity. Can I get an amen this morning? The gospel did that. And you know what's happened to our country? The greatest country there's ever been? The people in it have forgot about God. Yes, sir. The people in this world, God has blessed people so much that they're now living for the things of this world and they forgot about who give them what they got. Jesus said, I'm praying for all you that will believe the word. That reached to you, Brother Johnny. Reached to you, Miss Trina. Reached to you back there, Miss Mary. Danielle, it reached you, honey. Megan. Reached everyone in here. The prayer of Jesus Christ. Can you believe Jesus Christ prayed for you? Amen. but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And listen, did you know in Jesus Christ all of us that believe are one? When we accept Christ, we are baptized into one body. That body is the body of Jesus Christ. We are one. Sadly today, there are many Christians, well, I believe this. I believe in speaking in tongues. And I believe that you need to seek the baptism of the Spirit. There's little different things different Christians believe. One of these days, all that's going to be, they're going to be shoot how wrong they were in believing all that mess. They didn't rightly divide the Word of God. Amen. But we're all going to be one day, perfectly. But we are in one body today. There's not but one church. There's over, I forget how many different religions in the world. I forget how many different forms of Christianities there are. But one day there's just going to be that one true body in Christ that's going to be the bride of Christ. And we're going to live in that new Jerusalem, amen, with the Lord. Won't that be something, folks? Brother Chavis talking about he's seen some pretty places. Brother Chavis, you haven't seen nothing pretty yet, son. Amen. Will you wait till you see that new Jerusalem over yonder coming down and us in it? What a time that's going to be. Boy, what a banquet we're going to go at the wedding. Brother Junior will finally get filled up, amen? Yeah. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me I give unto them. We're going to be exalted one day, folks. We're going to be the bride of Christ. Think about that. What an intimate relationship we're going to have with the Lord, brother. Hey, Jesus Christ is telling us about it, church. Jesus Christ is telling us about it. He said, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you know what love God has bestowed upon you, church? God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Woo! Boy, think about that. What love God has bestowed upon you. You feel unloved today sometime? Nobody really likes me? I don't understand the way people treat me. What's going on? I don't feel like I'm appreciated. Hey, you're so loved by the Lord, he died for you. Oh, the love of God. I wish I had a capacity to tell you about the love of God. The only way I can tell you about the love of God is just look at the cross. That's the only way I can tell you. And just think this. Just think this. That was for you. That's God for you. Loving you that much. That's love, folks. That's love. What love? Father, I will that they also which thou hast given me be with me. He wants us to be with him, church. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? How many want to go today? Amen. Yeah, Father. I will that they also whom you've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. I want them to see what all you've given us. Boy, the Lord's anxious for us to be there, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know what? The Lord is pulling for you today. There might not be many people in this world pulling for you, but the Lord's pulling for you. He wants you there. You know the reason you're not there? He wants to use you here right now. He wants to use you here. You got something to do, Danielle. You got patients over yonder need you. Every one of you got something to do. Miss Mary, you got something to do, honey. Wifey, you gotta look after me, honey. You better get with it. Amen. Hey, if the Lord could take us today, but the reason we're still here, He's got something for us to do. And while we're here, we need to be doing it. Amen. Oh, I wish I could just let you know how much you're loved by the Lord. And I love you too. That's the reason I'm telling you all about this. The Lord's got something for you to do here. You see, some of y'all might even think, well, you know, I'm just here. Hey, God's got something for you to do. Well, what is it? Well, ask Him if you don't know. And whatever it is, Miss Linda? Miss Linda goes around and cleans houses for people. You know how important that is, folks? It's something to keep a house clean. See, that's important. It's important somebody keep the church clean too, isn't it? Thank you, Miss Linda. All of you got something to do. It's important. When you support the work of the Lord, what more important thing can you do than support the work of the Lord? What more can you do than praying for these lost sinners? What's more important, church? Are y'all listening to me today? Don't think you're not important. You're important. You've been left here to work for the Lord, the one that loves you so much that He died for you. I'm finishing. I ain't got about another hour maybe. Oh, righteous Father, verse 25, the world has not known Thee. Boy, what a statement is that. The world don't know God. The world don't know Jesus Christ. But I've known Thee, God, Jesus said. And these have known that Thou hast sent Me. Yeah, they got redeemed. You know what happened to those 12 apostles? Well, 11 of them that old Judas hanged himself, rascal. But you know what happened to those other 11 apostles? They were all martyred except one. Poor old John was persecuted, mistreated, abused, lived to be nearly 100 years of age. Mom Peter was, they say him and his wife both was crucified, and Peter upside down. Some of them dragged through the streets by animals. One of them was skinned alive. I mean, they were mistreated. You know why? They were obeying Jesus. They knew Jesus was the Christ. They knew He was the Christ. They knew He was the Redeemer. They knew He was our Savior. They knew it would be worth it. So don't get discouraged. You keep the faith. Jesus has prayed for you. Don't you ever forget that. You just keep being faithful to Him. asking him, how can you do his will? Serve him. Verse 26, and I've declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. God, Jesus, pray and let the love of God be in all of us. Let the love of the Lord be in us. Oh, help me love the Lord more. Help me love the Lord. Help me obey the Lord. Help me to serve the Lord. That should be all of our desire, church. This is Jesus' prayer. Praying for himself. Pray for his disciples. And praise God. He had the grace to pray for me and for you. And he's longing. Listen, he's longing for us to be with him. And you know what? When we go be with him, we're going to be there forever. It won't ever come to an end. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. I believe the word of God. And Lord, that's why I stand here today and preach the word of God. Encourage our brothers and our sisters in the Lord today. Bless them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord. Use them, Lord. Make us a blessing, Lord. Open doors for us, Lord. Because you are the Lord, and you can do all things. And we pray for your glory that it be accomplished in Jesus' mighty redeeming name. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless. This time we'll give you an opportunity to come to the altar if you like, before we share communion with you.